Revelation chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is speaking to people that he had, he believed he had won them to Christ. And they were affected by false gospel. They were affected by things they had heard from other people about, you know, what it really meant to be saved, to know God. I'm amazed, I guess, that how the devil works in people's lives. I'm still heavy from this morning, still burdened about this morning. And all day long, I couldn't get off my mind the thought of the word travail, being in travail, and the church being in travail, like a woman in travail with child. There's a lot of scriptures throughout the Bible that talks about a woman being in travail with child, that the birth pangs that a woman faces when delivering a child. And there's a spiritual picture that we can see throughout the scripture and I believe it's one of them things you just have to see it spiritually as a saved person, as being part of the body of Christ, that the church needs to be in birth pains many times to deliver. And again, I know that it's not up to me to save somebody. I cannot save nobody. You cannot save nobody. But the fact of the matter is, God's people getting under travail and under pangs puts us in prayer and under the weight of that. God begins to work even more. I believe, I truly do. God believes, begins to work even more on the sinner to bring them to birth. Paul is speaking here and he uses the phrase in verse 19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again." See, he had already travailed in birth once. And he was heavy again, like he was in travail. You can't be born again twice. I don't think Paul was talking about that, but I do think he's talking about the weight, being under that weight of the pangs, the labor, and the prayer that comes, the tears that come. Are we missing that, church? I mean, the disciples went out. There were some people they couldn't do nothing with. And it was because they hadn't fasted and prayed. Fasted and prayed. Not just prayed, but fasted and prayed. "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." That was his desire. He said it in the next verse, "I desire to be present with you now." He wasn't with them. "And to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." He doubted their salvation. Why? Because how they were so easily swept away from the gospel that he had given to them, from what he had preached to them, unto another gospel and another Jesus. They had begun in faith, and now they're keeping themselves by works. And there was nothing against doing works, but you don't keep yourself by works. You know, a baby is a baby because it was born a baby. Nothing it can do, even though it'll coo and cry and mess and everything else, because it's a baby. But all of that don't make it a baby. None of that makes it a baby. It does that because it is a baby. Being born again, you're being born of the Spirit, born from under the birth pangs of the church. Paul had that travail and those birth pangs, and he said, I'd travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you, till I could see the very image of Christ upon your life. Paul knew that's what the new birth did. I used to aggravate my cousins. My Uncle Daniel, I used to tell him he's got some strong DNA running through him, because every one of his kids, when they were born, I used to kind of joke. I'd say they took Daniel's stamp, and every one of them kids, they look just like their daddy. I mean, every one of them, just like he stamped them. They were Jones. They were Daniel's kids. They were not a doubt in your mind. I mean, you seen them and you knew. Till Christ be formed in you. You can see it. You can see Christ in that's born again. That child of God. That babe in Christ. But we need to travail for that. I really believe we need to be longing for that. Not just that they escape hell, but that they escape hell and that Christ is formed in them. That they have that imprint of Christ on their life. I desire, his desire he speaks of. All of these feelings that Paul, these spiritual feelings, travail, desire, this birth pangs that he's experiencing. The doubt, the lack of faith. Listen, and the Apostle Paul, I mean, who greater could a person have got saved under in that day? Now, he couldn't just tell them out, that they're lost. But he said, I'll worry about you. I stand in doubt of you. And it is for a spiritual elder can see these things that worry them. When you know Scripture and when you look upon someone's life and you're not seeing what you're supposed to see. I mean, nothing about it from start to finish looks like the new birth of the Bible. We should pain for that. It gives assurance to the mother, amen. It gives assurance to the church to see that soul, also in birth travail, amen. To see it in birth travail, to see it formed in like Christ as a child, to see it growing and being like Him. You can see His identity in little things as they grow more and more and more. You begin to see them more and more. My older brother, when he was just a little boy, there was a certain thing he did. It's in several pictures that Mom and Dad had of him. And growing up in our house, we always looked through the family albums just over and over again. We looked back, had memories, looked through those things, laughed. And I'd got a picture of his son. His son. And here he is, 25, 30 years difference between him and his dad. And he's standing there and he's doing the exact same thing. The exact, looked identical. That little thing that he did with his hands and his fingers, identical, identical. It's not that my brother was doing it now. No, it was just something he did as he was a child. Now, here, his son, very much like him, is doing the exact same thing. Why? It's his daddy in him. Coming out in him. Now, physically, I know that that's not always, that doesn't always happen. I mean, there, you've got your mom, you got mothers and fathers, and a lot of both of them coming into a child's life. But I'm trying to make a point here. We're talking about a new birth and being under pain to see that new birth. Now, when he talked to that about them, he began to talk about Abraham. That, you know, this allegory of law and grace and those that were born, one born of a bondwoman's a picture of our earthly, fleshly birth. And then him that's born of promise. And that's a picture of our birth, our spiritual birth. Our spiritual birth is a birth of promise. You see, because Abraham was beyond the years, his wife were beyond the years to have children together, God gave them a birth by promise. Not by the flesh, but by promise. That promise is what you and I will hope for. God promised a new birth. If any man be in Christ, if they come, there'll be a new birth. By promise, God will birth them into the family of God. The Holy Spirit will take God's word that comes together and that forms that will be new. That is new. It quickens our spirit, and now we are born again inside. A spirit being, alive, by promise. By promise. He said in verse 28, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." But as then that which was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. And it's very easy to see that that which is born after the flesh does not want that which is born after the Spirit happening. He lusteth the envy. And it is when the Spirit becomes alive, he against the flesh. And the flesh knows that. The flesh of a lost person, church, is going to kick against a new birth happening. We must come into pain like Paul did. Come into travail. We have to. We must. If we want to see it, we must. We should. We should. We should travail. We should pray. We should labor. Labor and pray. Travail in pain. It's going to put a heaviness on our flesh to see their spiritual birth. It will. And it'll also put a weight upon our spirit man. Because he's the one that is really going before the throne of God, praying with groaning over that one that is so close to being birthed into the family of God. Somebody just needs to travail. We need to be zealously affected, as he says in verse 18, in a good thing. I know that I'm looking at a lot of this as a spiritual application. It's the only way that I can look at it this evening. This heaviness could stay with us, church. It could stay with us for weeks. If that's what it takes. To see a delivery. To see a delivery. Bear the travail. Bear the travail to see the delivery. Lay hold of the promise. Lay hold of the promise of the birth. God is calling. God is calling. A miracle from the Lord. A miracle. That's what the new birth is. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of promise. That's what Isaac was. He was a miracle. A miracle birth. It wasn't supposed to happen. Happened because God promised. Not because Abraham fixed things up, you know, and found a younger woman to have his promised child through. Nah, that's not who God said it would be through. The one, both together, that it is physically impossible for man to produce it. Miracle, a miracle, born after the Spirit, born after the Spirit, born after the Spirit. See, then the babe is what it is. It's like what we were talking about in tonight's new convert study. Somebody that's truly born again, saved. There's evidence of why? Because it's a real babe. It's a real babe. Amen. Travail. Are you travailing? Do you feel heavy? Are you burdened? Are you burdened for your people or just souls in general? We should be burdened for our people, our children, our grandchildren, but we should also be burdened in travail for all of those that are lost, all of them, all of them. It should grieve us. Paul the Apostle said in the book of Romans that he, you know, Romans, I think it was 9, 10, and 11. Chapter 9, 10, and 11. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Great heaviness. He wanted to see his kinsmen according to the flesh. These were not his, what you just say, his earthly mom, dad, brother, sister, but the Israelites. All of them. It'd be like me saying the Gentiles, all Gentiles. Not just my mom, dad, brothers. All Gentiles. Paul was in great heaviness and continual sorrow. In chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You see, this is the heaviness, this is the birth pang that he's under. His heart's desire, his prayer to God. His heart's desire and his prayer to God. His conscience bearing him witness. His great heaviness. My goodness. Think about that. The travail that the apostle was under to see, and I need this evening. Whether you think this is anything or not, I wish that every child of God would really grab hold of this. I need to grab hold of it more. You become concerned. You become concerned more. You find yourself. You're not worried so much about self and self-need anymore. You can't get your heart and mind off of that one that's lost. Travail, heaviness, wanting to see that birth, wanting to see that child saved or that mom or dad or whoever that it is, born again, truly born again, Christ in them, a new life, a really truly new life. That you really have it. I remember hearing that years ago, over and over, when I was lost. Do you really have him? Is he really inside? Do you really know? I mean, really, it just hit me like a ton of bricks every time my granddaddy would say that as my pastor. Do you really? No, I didn't really. I didn't really. But I do really now. I do really now. All because he promised. I do really now. Because he birthed me in. He came to me. Somebody labored over me. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. I know it. Not a doubt in my mind. Somebody prayed for you. I'm not talking about just whispered one prayer. I'm talking really prayed. Somebody prayed for you. Prayed and labored, worried. I know we say, you know, we're not supposed to worry. You know, God says fret not, but maybe this is the flesh. Maybe we need to worry about somebody a little bit in that way. I'm not talking about worrying in doubt. I'm talking about worrying in heaviness. Worrying in heaviness. Worrying, hoping, praying. Hoping and praying. Oh, Lord, that they don't miss heaven. God, that they don't come to the end of the way and Jesus come and them not saved. God, them go home tonight and not wake up tomorrow. Go out into eternity lost. For the Lord to come back tonight. Tonight's the night. And them have pushed him away. God, please don't let it be that they would find themselves in that condition. Please don't let it be that they find themselves dying and lifted up their eyes in hell like the rich man. Please don't let them find themselves in that shape. I can't imagine any worse than a person being without God. And that time, it's ended. It's done. There is no more. There is no more grace. There is no invitation left. There is no time left. That's going to happen one day. That will happen. We should travail over that. Really travail over that. Travail over their soul. God have mercy upon us. To help us not to be so numb, hard ourselves. That's what the world wants to do to us. Numb us. The devil wants to just numb us. I can remember one time, I may have told it here before, but this is true. I was working in a factory, and I saved, called to preach, and had really been praying. I'm talking really praying for lost people, praying that God would, you know, give me a burden to win people to the Lord. You know, give me a vision. Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Give me a vision, God. Help me to see. Help me to be on fire. I mean, everything that I could pray. And I remember one day walking in, it's first thing in the morning, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. You say, what was it, Brother Mark? The Holy Spirit of God opened my eyes. And all I could see was lost people going to hell. All around me. It's like God pulled the curtain back and said, you want to see who's lost? You want to see who's not saved? You want to see the gravity and the weight of it? How many are perishing all around you? And tears, I couldn't help it. It was heavier than I could bear. I couldn't bear that. That knowledge, I mean, really, the way that God was revealing it to me. I crawled off in a room somewhere and got down and I said, oh, God, have mercy upon them. Have mercy upon me. It was too much for my fleshly body to handle, my fleshly mind to handle. I tried to suck it in to the spiritual man. It was just more than I was ready for as a young preacher. It'd be more than I'm ready for even now, 30-some years later. Why? I mean, the very thought, if we could really get a picture of what hell really looks like and somebody going, we wouldn't do anything else. We wouldn't do anything else but go to people. Go to people begging them. Please, do you know? Do you know? Are you sure? Are you sure? Because the place that I'm talking about, it's real. It's on fire. It burns and it hurts. And they suffering. Are you sure? Are you really sure? Do you really know? Are you saved? Do you know that you know that you're born again? We wouldn't do anything else. There's nothing else would matter. No, if we really saw it, no, there's nothing else that matters. Nothing else that matters. What's hard is, and I believe God only gives us so much because we'd quit providing for our family. Nothing else would be important. God wants a man to provide for his family. God wants a man to take care of his wife, take care of his children, to also be a light. You see, you can't just be single-minded, just one. There's a lot of things that God said, you do these things. And that's enough. Because it all rests in the hand of God. God's able. God is able to speak to that heart, to squeeze to that heart. I want you to stand this evening. I sure don't want to ramble on, but